Well, good morning. I'm very happy to be here. It's good to see each and every one that is here and present today. Some of you have come a long distance, and I haven't seen in quite a while. So it's a joy and a privilege to be here with you and to study God's Word and the fellowship today. Just hope and pray that we'll all be lifted up and know a little bit more about God's Word. The Beatitudes. There's a lot of information here for us as to how we should live. And can you imagine how it would have been when Jesus went up on the mount to teach this lesson, if you'd have been there and been sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to it? One of the greatest lessons that's ever been brought was brought by Jesus. So I hope you have your New Testaments and turn with me. I'm going to read them. And in Matthew, the 5th chapter, read along with me, and I'm going to comment on the very first one. Matthew, the 5th chapter, starting with the first verse. It says here, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." The Beatitudes. As I have already said, it's known as the Sermon on the Mount. These Beatitudes here present to us so clearly the value of Jesus, the way that He expects us to be, to change our life when we have been profoundly converted, when we have obeyed the gospel, when we change. This is what He's looking for, and this is what He is telling us here. And we can also find over in Mark's gospel, also, we find something that is very interesting there and very appealing, where there's an incident where it brings out so clearly to us what Jesus means when He says changing your lives and following me. That's what He is saying. Mark 10, let us turn there also and read these few scriptures here. Mark 10, 17 through 22. 17 through 22. "And when he was gone forth unto the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, take up your cross, and follow me." Listen to what he said. The man said, "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." He had great possessions. This man came to Jesus, and he said, "Good master." He knelt down to him and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, and he also called him good master. He said, "Why do you call me good?" He said, "There's none good except God in heaven." But, you know, he gave him the commandments. Said, "Look, you know the commandments. you know, that you do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and so forth, and do not cheat. Honor thy father and mother. And the man replied, I've obeyed all of these things since my youth, since I was young. You know, these things I have obeyed. And then Jesus looked steadfastly at him, and he said that he loved him. Remember that. He said he loved him. And he said, for you lack one thing. There's one thing you lack. Sell what you have and give the money to the poor. Give to the poor. And then come and follow me. You know, on hearing this, can you only imagine how the man felt? Here's a man that had plenty of wealth, had all kind of money, and Jesus told him to give his money to the poor. Oh, I'm sure his face fell. But what was Jesus telling him? What was he telling him to do? Here's what he was telling him. He was telling him to change your life. That's what he is telling him. See, this man, without a doubt, probably he was, the money had become, and his wealth had become his God. Now he's telling him to forsake that and come and follow me. Change your life. You know, probably all of us, I do know myself, I can remember back the religious instructions as a child where we memorized the Ten Commandments. That was something that we did. We did it in school, too, much of the time. Can't do that anymore. But we did then. Perhaps some of you now can still recite the Ten Commandments. It's something good to know. But what about the Beatitudes? The ones that we've just read. How many of us can recite these Beatitudes? The blessings that really show us the way of Jesus. You know, it goes far beyond just obeying the commandments and trying to gain eternal life. It goes beyond that. It's a profound change. It's a change in our attitudes, the way that we think, our value system, what we put our value in. It's a change. That's what it is. To really come to the point where that we know Jesus. We know him, and the point is this, that he's trying to tell us to imitate his way. Imitate his way. Follow him. You know, that's going to require a complete change in our thoughts, in our conversations, in the way that we act, things that we do. As Brother Allen, in leading his prayer, talks about, the Lord to help us that we can change from these things and see these things that come up in our life and make sure that our attitude is right so that we can serve God, so that we can serve Jesus the way that he has asked us to. Each one of these Beatitudes is very important, without a doubt. I think they're all very important. That's where it says hunger for thirst, be a peacemaker, and be reconciled if you depart, and be sincere of heart. All of these attitudes that he's talking about and these Beatitudes are very important. But today, I want to bring this to your mind. What is the foundation for all of these? You know, Christ said, I will build my church upon this rock. I will build my church. The church was built on the foundation. When you build a house, you find a good, solid foundation. So I think that these Beatitudes, the foundation is found in the very first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Over in Luke, the 20th chapter, in the 6th chapter, pardon me, and the 20th verse, it says there, blessed be ye poor. And sometimes people think, well, that Matthew, in his statement there, in this first one, modified it a little bit where he said poor in spirit. But they seem to think that might take a little bit of the edge off of it. But really it doesn't. It simply helps us to realize that when Jesus was talking about blessed are the poor, he's talking more about an attitude, a way of knowing one's need for Jesus, for God, which is a disposition of the heart. It is. It's a disposition of the heart and not simply a economic deprivation. No, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a change, a disposition of the heart. Poor in spirit means that we understand the profound truth about who? About ourselves. for one thing, the truth that none of us, we need to realize that none of us are responsible for our own existence. None whatsoever. Our own continuance of existence. We're not responsible for that. Poor in spirit means that we understand that we have a need for God. And we need to know who God is. And one important thing is we need to know who we are also. Poor in spirit also means understanding that without God and without God's gift of existence, we would not be existing. We would not be here. No, we would. God, as he told that rich man, you know, he looked at him and he loved him. God loves us into being. God loved the world into being, the creation. He did. He did that. And it's only through God's love that sustains us all as we go daily in our lives. It's a continuing love that God has given for us. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we take things for granted. Sometimes we think maybe we're doing it on our own, but we forget about God. And sometimes it takes an extraordinary something to happen in our life. It could be a physical thing. It could be a financial thing. It happens to us. It jars us a little bit and thanks us about God. You know, 9/11, when that happened, you know, there were so many that had not even prayed or talked about God. They started getting on their knees, and it jarred them and shook them to realize that their very existence can be taken away. It can happen. I want to bring this to your mind and tell you, most of you I'm sure know that I've done electrical work all my life, and I have a company now still. We're doing electrical work, and I'm retired, thank goodness. But I want to tell you about a little story of me, that's something that happened to me back years ago. I had a breaker that went bad in a main switchgear, and it was up in Atlanta, and it was underground in a vault, and it was high amperage. It was a big breaker, and I had to change it out, and I had done this many times. I went in there and did it at night. It was time we had to do it, and I went in and took the bolts out, and on these phases that come in and feed this breaker, there was a copper bus bar that come in to each phase, three phases, and I had to take the bolts out of them when I got it ready to take it out. And when I did, I know you can work one at a time. You just don't ground yourself out. You're okay. I got the bolts out, and I reached up and got it. And I'm right up in it, and I slid it back to take it out. It was so big. And when I did, one of the bars fell over and shorted against the other, right in my face. And it was a terrible explosion. Blew me back against the wall, burnt my face, my beard, and my face, and messed my glasses up, and couldn't see for a little bit. But you know what? Right at that instant, when that happened, I realized what I had done, and I had forgot about how dangerous it was. See, electricity is there. You can see the outlets, but you can't see it. It's there. You have to respect it. God is the same way. Same way. See, now, after that, I respected it a little more. And I put on the necessary protection that I should have been wearing. I shouldn't have been right up in my face with it. And it's just a lot of things I did that was wrong. And that's the same way it is with us. We go through life, and we sometimes forget about God's presence. He's an all-seeing God. He's here today. He's everywhere we go. He's seeing our thoughts. Everything that we do, he sees and he knows. So we don't need to forget that. We need to remember that. I remember a time over in Africa riding with Brother Harry. Some of you have rode with Brother Harry, and you know that was a trip. I'm telling you. But there was a time when we almost had an accident that would have took our life. And at that time, you know, something like that jars you. You get to thinking about it, and you get to talking to God, you know. You get on your knees and you're thinking. But the point is this. You know, if we have truly been converted and become poor in spirit as we're supposed to, we're going to thank him all the time and not wait till something like this comes along in our life. You know, I'm not saying that that somehow God made a special effort there to keep us from getting killed in that wreck, or if we'd have had a wreck. I'm not saying necessarily that. I do believe that we have those that protect us, and God has got those that do to some degree. But I do know that there's others that have lost their life that God allowed that were very godly people. And so the point is this. We need to realize all the time that God is the one that sustains our life. He takes care of us. And we need to be aware of that. We need to have this profound awareness that each of us somehow need to nurture in our hearts, within ourselves, so that we become poor in spirit for the understanding of our need for God at every moment in our life, constantly. In a way, you know, I suppose, but not necessarily, I wouldn't say this necessarily, but it would maybe be that if we were economically poor, then we might have a better sense of God's awareness or God's presence and what God provides us. And the reason I say this because of the fact that I see those in other parts of the world that just don't have the things we have. We are truly blessed here in this country beyond imagination. We are. And sometimes these blessings kind of get to us, and it causes us to forget about God. And Africa, when you see those over there that don't have anything, I'm talking about poor folks, dirt poor, but see the zeal that they have to want to come and hear God's word and sit there and listen and will accept it and obey the gospel. It's something that makes you stop and think, doesn't it? It should. When we have way more wealth than we need, sometimes we begin to think that, well, all this wealth and this money that I have, it kind of gives me some power. I mean, it seems like that it could. And, you know, we can do what we want. We don't need anyone else. There's plenty of jobs, make good money, and so forth, and pretty soon we get to where that we don't even need God. And how wrong can that be? It is. It's a terrible thing. So sometimes we have to find a way to make ourselves aware of the need for God and in some of the most profound ways. I don't know. Not just a need for God to provide us with everyday needs such as food and clothing and so forth, but our need for God to recognize just for our very existence we need God. And when we become aware of this whole approach to God and His changes, that's when we are being converted the way that Jesus is wanting us to be converted in His way. Be poor in spirit. We understand at that point in time that the material goods is not all we need. It's not a be-all, fix-all thing in our life. And it shouldn't be. No, we need to understand that we need enough to have a full life. We're to work. He tells us to work. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So we are to work. We're to have certain things in life, but we do not let them come to the point to where that's all that we think about. No, like that rich man. That's what he wanted. He wanted his wealth. He didn't want to turn loose of that. He wasn't willing to go and follow Jesus. We understand that God made the world for all of us. He did, for every one of us. And we need to find a way that we can share that which we have with others so that everyone has a chance to live a good life. There's just so much that in this first beatitude where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, there's just so much that will change about our thinking. And in the way that we act and in our deep sense that we need God in our life just to have our own being. It all depends on God, upon His constant, infinite, unlimited, unconditional love for each and every one of us. You know, that will change our lives when we begin to have this kind of a foundation that he's talking about here in Blessed are the Poor in Spirit. When that becomes a foundation of all of our values in life, as Jesus has laid out, then there's going to be a change. These Beatitudes that we hear read already, it'll bring a change in our life if we really look at them and study and understand being blessed, poor in spirit. And as we continue to look at these in the Gospel of Matthew, and we go and explore more into what we call the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to find that these values that we see spelled out are even more clearly, and they're such a challenge to us. They become real. Change your lives. Begin to follow the way of Jesus. So today, as we reflect on this gospel and prepare ourselves to continue to reflect on them, on this Sermon on the Mount, as we call it, we can begin that change in our lives. That's what we should do. If you haven't had that change, that change in your life and the change of attitudes, then you haven't done what Jesus has asked you to do. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, it really bothers me that there's so many in the church today. They claim to be a Christian, but yet they are not willing to have their attitude changed to the point to where that they're willing to do all that Jesus has asked us to do. Oh, it's changing. It is. There's a lot that has changed here in the last 15, 20 years. And I don't know where it's going to head to in the next 10 years. They're drifting further and further away. And it's because of the attitude that they have let slip and let leave and not following after Jesus. They have this attitude now, like I've already said, about they got plenty of money and now they want to please themselves. The attitude is all about self. But we need to realize that our life can be taken away at any moment, at any time. And when we begin to live that new reign, that new value system, I would say, serving Christ, that's when we really begin to have that reign with God. You know, it's at hand. And as we begin to live according to the way that Jesus is asking us to live, that reign with God becomes real in our life. It becomes something that we think about daily. Not just every once in a while when something comes along and jars us and shakes us up. So we need to be aware of that and think about it. It's so easy to let Satan take our mind and pull it away from serving God and becoming humble and kind and having a pure heart to love the Lord. You know, we begin to know the fullness and the joy and the love and peace that comes with the reign of God when we do what he asks us to do. And it tells us there in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. It says, by God's grace, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become our wisdom from God and who makes us just and holy and free. By the grace of God, by the love of God, you're in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful blessing it is. Blessed are the poor in spirit. See, when we live the way that Jesus has asked us to, we enter into that reign of God. We do. And it makes us just and holy and free. And we pray that each and every one of us today will take this seriously. We need to look at it and be serious about our life for Christ. Not just go through the motions. There's a lot of people that go through the motions. It's easy to get caught up, you know, go and attend church service on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or maybe Wednesday. But then you go on into your life and you do the same thing that you've been doing, the worldly things, and then you come back on Sunday and then you think about God. We need to think about him all the time. All the time. Because just like I mentioned about the thing that happened to me, it can happen to you. I'm sure you've had experiences in your life that has jarred you and shook you up and brought you close to that point of departing from this earth. You know, we need to think about that all the time and be ready. And that's one of the things I think that makes it so good about a Christian life, is to know that if our life is taken away and we are poor in spirit, humble, kind, and meek and all of these things that He has asked us to be and the way that He has given us in these Beatitudes, if we're that way, then it's a joy. Man, I'm ready to go. It's just a joy to be that way. So I hope that we can think about that and in our life be prepared. I want to turn over to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and read 1 through 15. Now, you've heard these many times, but let us take a look at it. Colossians 3, 1 through 15. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Set your affection upon things above, not on things of the earth. See, this is where a person has obeyed the gospel. Their attitude has changed in their life. They have become poor in spirit, humble, kind, and all of these things. You're to think about Christ. Think about Him and about what He has asked us to do here. Put Him first, is what He's saying. Says, the 3rd verse, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, that means bring unto subjection. Bring your life unto subjection. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Caesarean, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, a holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Turn to Romans 12. Romans, the 12th chapter, and the 2nd verse. I'm wrong. Yes, Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. In Galatians, I'm going to read 2 or 3 more scriptures, and then I'm going to bring my remarks to a close. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. It says there, this I say unto them, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. See, this is talking about a change in your life. Over in Ezekiel the 18th chapter and the 31st verse, Ezekiel 18 and 31. Listen to what he's telling Israel. Children of Israel, we know how they were. They served God for a while and they turned their back on Him, and then they come back and back and forth. And here's what he's telling them. The 31st verse of the 18th chapter. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? So he make you a new heart and a new spirit. Blessed are the poor in heart. Blessed are the poor in the spirit. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's saying. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, I want to turn there, and I'll read these verses. I want to read the 22nd through the 24th verse. 22nd through the 24th. It says there, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, when he says, blessed be in the poor in spirit, that's what he's talking about. Changing our mind, changing our attitude, changing our thoughts, changing all of this and centered upon God. And then all of these things that we enjoy in life, we're going to have. He's going to let us have them. He's going to give them to us. So it's very important, our attitude and the life that we live in regards to Him. Let it be a life that is constantly thinking about God. When we get up in the morning, we need to give thanks for Him giving us that night's rest. Help us to go through the day. And all along through the day, remember God. And then when certain things come up in our life, we'll realize the importance of whether we should back away from it or whether we should do it or whatever. We'll know if it's right or wrong. That's what I'm trying to say. We'll know if it's godly, if it's righteousness, and so forth. Hope I said a little something that will help us understand blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm sure that we'll hear some wonderful words for the rest of it, and I look forward to hearing it. And I just want to say that I hope and pray that we can all live a life to where that we can assemble again in heaven just as we are assembled here this evening, every one of us. That's what I look forward to, and I hope and I know that you do too. May the Lord bless each and every one. Thank you.